My name is Roger Bong. I run a record label. It's called Aloha Got Soul. It started out as a blog 5 or 6 years ago and has manifested itself into what it is today.
So what was the blog?
I think it was more writing-based. I had just graduated from journalism school. I was looking for a side project. I was also homesick for Hawaii because I went to school in Oregon. And I was also became obsessed with collecting these records. And I went online and I couldn't find any information in English. Everything was in Japanese about these records, about this music. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to be the first major English language resource for this pretty obscure type of music from Hawaii.
And I guess in your own words, what's the period you cover?
The Aloha Got Soul period is 1970s, early 1980s. Contemporary music that is more soul, funk, R&B, jazz influenced. Maybe not so much commercial or pop music, but that R&B kind of African-American influenced sound.
And how did you get turned on to that?
It was a Japanese DJ named DJ Muro. And he's quote-unquote the king of digging. He's been doing it for a long time, and he's a very famous, very popular DJ in Japan and around the world. But he put out a mixtape of all these Hawaiian records, and I'd never heard any of them before, except for one. One stuck out in my mind because I'd heard it at some point years before, and I was like, hey, I know this song. And I heard that in Oregon, and I got really homesick, and I was like, oh, I never knew this stuff existed. So
what song was that?
Mackie Fury Band with A Million Stars. I was like, this is all from Hawaii. And the first two tracks, it later turned out, were by Mike Lundy, who I started working with to do the first releases on Aloha Got Soul. So
in the, I guess, to take you back, have you met DJ Muro now?
Not yet. Okay. I'm really hoping I'm going to, yeah.
So let's start with the parties.
Okay. It started out here and in London at the same time. So the blog had been going for a couple of years now, and every now and then I would get these emails from people around the world. Hey, I really love what you're doing. I really love the music. You know, can you share some more info with me, or can we work together in some way? Can I interview you, et cetera, et cetera. So this guy, Cedric from London, emails me and says, hey, I really, really love what you're doing. I'd love to work with you on some kind of project. Maybe we can do like a mixtape and a t-shirt. I was like, okay, that sounds cool. We had been going back and forth for some time, trading records, trading knowledge and stuff, until that idea came about. And when it did, we put the mixtape together, had a t-shirt ready, and said, okay, let's do a launch party or a release party for this. And the release party was on the same night, both in Honolulu and in London, in March 2014. And it was so successful both here and there, in our eyes at least, that we decided to keep doing it monthly. And that's how Soul Time in Hawaii was born. And they do Soul Time in London every other month now. So,
and then that's also in Chicago?
Yes. And then so the same thing happened. This guy from Chicago, DJ Solson, hits me up by email and says, hey, I really love what you guys are doing, especially with the parties. I would love to extend that vibe out to Chicago. I think we really need it out in this city. So I haven't even met these guys in person yet. It's all online. It's all through Facebook and email. And yet they're holding it down in the name of Soul Time, I guess you could say.
So what's the music like at those other parties?
It's kind of along the same lines as what we do here. It's a lot of like soul and R&B and funk, groove kind of music, some jazz. Each of those guys, Cedric in London, Solson in Chicago, they're also big Hawaiian record nerds, and so they have stuff in their collection that they throw in. Like, it was kind of funny because when they did the Chicago party, when they did the first one, Solson did a mix of all Hawaiian tunes, like an hour's worth, and they played it on air in Chicago, and I was listening and I was like, yeah this song I love this song, what's this one, what? And I immediately hit him up. I was like, dude, what is that track? And he told me, I was like, how come I didn't know about this? And it turned out it was a Kalapana track that I had kind of just skipped over. It's on one of their later albums. And he had picked it up, and I had just kind of slept on it. So,
yeah. Don't you hate that?
I felt kind of stupid at some point. I was like, oh, man, it's right in front of my face. But, yeah. No, they're good guys.
And then how did the record label start up?
Kind of out of necessity, I would say. A lot of people were also asking me for certain records. Can I buy this? Do you have an extra copy for this? Can you re-release this? I want it. And I felt that it was just going to be a natural extension of what I was already doing with the blog, documenting these artists' stories. So, yeah, re-releasing their music is just another extension of telling their story.
And has a... I mean, with these records, are these are, I take it, these are all very rare and out of print, and they're hard. Is it, why do you have to re-release them? Is it that hard to find? Or?
Yes, it's that hard to find. And I believe that it should be part of Hawaii's oral landscape, and the world's too. It should be part of, I feel like this music should be on the map, so to speak, for the whole world to hear. You know, the whole world looks to Hawaii, and what do they hear? They hear the beautiful traditional Hawaiian music. They also hear the island sound, the reggae-influenced Hawaiian pop music. And that's the extent of what people really think about what music from Hawaii is. So I wanted to help influence that, because this music that people like Mike Lundy or Nohelani Cipriano or Aura, the stuff they put out is incredible, but in some respects it didn't reach past our shores. It didn't go any further than this island.
Which takes us to this up and coming Strut release, which is... So tell us about Strut. I mean, for people who are unfamiliar with that record label, like, what is Strut?
Well, you tell me about it. What do you think about Strut? I'd love to hear...
Because I think you're supposed to be curating this whole thing.
Talking about the label or the compilation? Because maybe you could.
To me, the label has always been. I mean, they're from what I know of them, they're a London-based label. Who, I mean, they have regular artists to their roster, but they also are famous for putting together compilations, somewhat curated compilations of fairly. What is it? Older stuff that kind of like never saw the light of day outside of there. Exactly kind of what you're doing outside of the country. And they're able to kind of curate. It's kind of like a very cool version of Putumayo. Not to say that they're not. Those guys do great work. But they, it's compilations of music, of pockets of music that you would have never necessarily heard about, and it's like some of the best of the best, and they re-release it, like the Nigeria 71, which is, although it had like Fela, and everyone knows that there were some things on there that were just like or the Peru Maravilloso, and it was like them and Tiger's Milk. Would have never heard of these bands other than things like that, and it becomes, for me as a DJ, becomes the starting point to... It opens the door to that country and go, great, Peru. What else you got? You know, and it's, you know, and though they focus on this one little pocket of time, it opens the door and you can start looking at it. Oh. Yeah. They're not the only ones, too.
They're not. I mean, maybe they were one of the first or one of the pioneers who really put that kind of work on the map, you know, focusing on a region of the world that their music might not have reached any further than that single town or that little area. So Strut Records, I mean, Strut Records is well respected, especially among the DJ community, for the work and the effort that it puts into these compilations. You know, they don't just grip them and flip them. They don't just find this stuff and just put it out there and then move on to the next thing. They really give each release and each compilation a lot of love, a lot of time, a lot of thought. And so I really think that's the reason why I felt that working with Strut Records would be a good place, a good partnership to do this kind of compilation. Because on my own, Aloha God Soul is still a very young record label. It's 1 year in. I don't have the connections or the network, the foundation that they've built to this point. You know, they've been around for maybe 20, 25 years now. So for me, working with them is just, it allows the music to have the platform that it needs to then go on and reach further audiences.
They have like global distribution.
Right? And they have a lot of contacts with tastemakers and musical influencers, radio DJs, magazine, you know, all kinds of things. So stuff that I don't have yet or might not necessarily reach the right person, you know.
So with that, you've selected these tracks out for this upcoming compilation.
Yes.
How did you go about by doing that? Because
that's a good question.
This is something that has it will. I mean, these are artists, somewhat forgotten artists of Hawaii that are about to hit the ears of the world.
Right.
So, how do you narrow it down?
I started with a theme or a mission of this compilation being kind of the quintessential representation of what that music from that era is. I mean, there was a lot of music going on in the islands during the 70s and the early 80s, but there was this pocket of contemporary kind of progressive music. And so that was my starting point. And then from there, I wanted the compilation to be accessible to anybody. So I didn't get too obscure. I didn't get too crazy. I chose songs that anybody can listen to and enjoy. And then from there, just it was a process of, okay, what really matches the overall sound? What's going to paint as full of a picture as it possibly can? Because there's no way you can truly represent the era in just one 16-track compilation. But it's a starting point. And we're making the effort, and it's the first compilation of its kind.
From Hawaii.
For this kind of music from Hawaii. It's the first compilation of its kind for this music that was made in Hawaii during that era.
So with getting back to the music from that era, because someone was saying it's a really pivotal point in music, not because you all of a sudden had popular music influence and soul and everything like that, plus you had the Hawaiian Renaissance, right? With that.
So yeah.
Talk about that.
I mean, I wasn't alive at the time, but from what I know, from what I've learned from the artists, and somebody out there listening, maybe correct me if I'm wrong or I've gotten something wrong. But from what I know, okay, the Hawaiian Renaissance, that was happening. And at the same time, there was still this underground scene going on of people who just wanted to go out to the nightclubs. Maybe they respected each other and they had a lot of interest in each other in the Hawaiian Renaissance and its music. But, we're people. We're young people. We want to go out. We want to have fun. We want to listen to good music that makes us feel good, have a good party. And so that was existing alongside the Hawaiian Renaissance. But you don't hear about that scene really existing because the Hawaiian Renaissance was so critical to the culture of these islands, right? The identity of these islands. So what am I trying to say here?
So this is like the party, like the after party to the Hawaiian Renaissance? Or?
Well, there's also a lot of things going on too, because there was a huge influence from radio and pop music of the day. And pop music of the day was R&B music, right? Earth, Wind, and Fire, Tower of Power, those kinds of artists. So that was one of the major influences on the artists making music. The artists who were making music that wasn't part of the Hawaiian Renaissance scene, Nohelani Cipriano, I think, is a good example, because she took a lot of, she has Nohelani's background, her family background is in music and in Hawaiian music. But when she started her career, she wanted to take a contemporary approach and not play Hawaiian music, quote unquote, but play her own form of music and incorporate those influences from the islands, but also incorporate these R&B influences, these rock influences, these jazz influences, modern day influences into her sound, I guess. Yeah.
And then I guess with a lot of what you're doing, it seems to be breathing a lot of new life into these artists. Like Mike Lundy kind of has a career all of a sudden again. That's what somebody told me.
That's great.
Well, I mean, it's all of a sudden, or with what's the very famous story of a Buena Vista Social Club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody knew who they were. And all of a sudden they're, this movie comes out and all like, what do you want us to tour?
Yeah.
Mike
Lundy,
Phyllis Dillon, right? They found her working as a bank teller, right? And all of a sudden they revitalized her career and something like that. But
you know, Mike Lundy is pretty big in Japan. It's funny. And you know, he hasn't, this album that he put his heart and soul into in 1980, recording and writing it, you know, just didn't go anywhere when it came out. And so 35 plus years later, the whole world, I guess not the whole, I'm sorry, people around the world are paying attention and listening to this music that he made 35 years ago. And for him, it's huge, because something that's so far in the past for him, you know, he's moved on, he's done other things with his life now. It's come back, and that piece of art that for that part of his life was so important to him, I mean, people finally have the chance to appreciate what he's done, the music that he's made. And we just had a live performance with Mike at Hungrier Records, and it was an acoustic performance, and it was the first time he's played these songs live in 20, almost 30 years for an audience. And I think for him, it was overwhelming. It was surreal. And it was such an inspiration, because here he is playing this original music that he wrote to a brand new audience who's willing to listen. Whereas back in 1980, when it first came out, nobody really wanted to listen. And he can tell you more about that story, but they just never got the chance to get it on the air or sell it in the shops or just move copies of the release that they pressed. So does that make sense?
Got it. Yeah. Sheesh.
Yeah. It just, it's opened a whole new world. It's opened the world up to Mike Lundy. And it's a huge part of it is because of the internet, and because we have, the world is so flat now. There are no boundaries. You know, when I put pre-orders up for the release, which came out in November, people from all around the world were buying it. People from Norway, people from Thailand, people from Sweden, people from Taiwan, Spain, France, London, Japan, of course, China even, and like maybe a few sales here in Hawaii. But like, there are no boundaries now, and that's great for this kind of music.
Have you sold more of his stuff outside of Hawaii than here?
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
I think maybe
like exotic there, or
yeah, there's a few reasons, but yes. The exotic or romantic appeal that Hawaii has to the rest of the world probably is one of the main reasons why people pay more attention. People from the outside pay more attention than people who live here. You know what I mean? I'm a great example. I didn't know this stuff existed while I was living here. It took me moving away to go to school in Oregon, hearing a mix by a Japanese artist, to then finally realize, oh, there's this cool stuff that came from the islands.
Talk about like how it's been picked. I mean, because it's definitely big. Giles Peterson. It's been picked up.
Yes.
All over. Did he play it?
Yes. In fact, Giles Peterson did a like end of the year best of on his radio show. It was like in two parts. His show is every Saturday on BBC radio. Anyway, Mike Lundy, The Rhythm of Life, title track of the album, is up there. And he just loves, if you hear him on the radio, when he talks about this track, he's just blown away. He's like, I cannot believe this is from Hawaii. It is so good. So that kind of response, you know, just kind of solidifies for it. It proves to us that this music deserves to get out there, and it should get the attention that it is getting now.
And for anyone who argues like, you know, there's a reason some artists didn't make it and some artists do. I mean, you know, and to anyone, you know, would say like, you know, you're digging up and re-releasing things that should have said, you know, right, stayed buried. Why is it important that these artists like see the light of day again?
You know, 35 years ago was a very different time, especially in terms of technology and the connectivity that we enjoy now, that we take for granted now in 2016. And so somebody like Mike Lundy, who really deserves the attention and the fans that he's getting now, he couldn't get that back then because he couldn't reach the people who wanted to hear it. You know, we live on an island and our resources are pretty limited. You know, we can't reach that great of an audience, especially back then, you know. And so now, today, we have the tools. This is the perfect time to do this kind of thing, because the artists that put stuff out back in the day that didn't get that opportunity to reach the people they wanted to reach, now they can. And it's infinity times. It's so much easier. It's ridiculous how easy it is to reach somebody across the world. Send them a track. They love it.
And about spreading the breadth of Hawaiian music, that's not just the importance of just not just ukuleles and slide guitars.
I mean, I think we have a very diverse identity here. There's people who do all sorts of things. Hawaii is so diverse. I mean, why not show that the diversity of our islands? There are so many layers and so many pockets, interesting little communities that we have. So
what's next for you then, for this project?
For Aloha Got Soul? I think what's next is working towards new releases and working towards connecting Hawaii with more of the world. And that may mean finding somebody from here and teaming them up with somebody from elsewhere and creating something new with that collaboration. That's just one idea, but I really want to move into new releases and create something new for the islands and see where we can go from there.